Why don't you turn with me this morning to Romans. We're picking up in chapter 14, about midway through, so we'll pick it up about verse 14. And you remember we were talking about the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, the liberty, the freedom that we have in the Lord because of His grace and because of His mercy toward us. But as we kind of covered some of this in our last study, the reality is not only do we have the freedom, we have a lot of freedom in the Lord, but we need to use our freedom wisely, the freedom that we have. We can be ourselves, we can, the playground's gigantic is the point in Christianity, that there's a lot of space and a lot of room to be ourselves and so on. But there's also a real significance about, you know, using that wisely, that freedom that we have, because we can use it and just say, well, you know, I've got grace to do this or to do that. And that can be very much a true statement that God's grace is there, that we're not under law, but we're washed and cleansed because of the finished work of the cross. And all of that is true. I'm 100% supportive of that. The thing that's so great about studying, really actually going through the Bible and studying the Word of God like we do here at Calvary Chapel, we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, letter by letter, we just keep going through it. And one of the things that you start finding out is one of the rules of good understanding in going through the Bible and in hermeneutics and stuff, when you study the Word a lot, one of the things that you have to do is you can't take a part apart from the whole. You can't take this part out because you like this part and leave this part. You know, it all fits together. You can't take a part apart from the whole of the context. So though we have all this freedom and we can live our lives and do pretty much with this giant playground, we've got a lot of room to be ourselves. But there's also this balance of, is it going to be something that's going to be pleasing to God? Does this bring glory to the Lord? In our last study, we kind of talked about one of the important, like kind of a grid to pressing through, or the concept or the idea that, let me think about these two or three things, you know, regarding the freedom, for example, that we have. Paul the Apostle was really clear about this. He said, well, you know, not all things are expedient. He said, all things are lawful. I can do anything. I've got all this freedom. But not all things are beneficial, helpful. That's one of the first things. Is this really helpful in my journey with the Lord? That's one of the first things that you'd want to ask yourself, that I would want to ask myself. Is this something that's going to be helpful to me? Is this going to be something that's going to draw me closer to the Lord? Not all things are expedient. Giant playground, a lot I can do. Got a lot of freedom in the Lord. But are all things really expedient for me? And then he says, I will not be brought under the bondage of any. So this is another thing to think about. Is this something that could potentially really pull me down? You know, is this something that's going to be something that I habit forming, for example, things like that. Is this something that, if it were to be habit forming, is it a good habit? You know, nobody goes to hell because they smoke cigarettes. That's just a simple truth. No one goes, you know. But a lot of people, oh, geez, don't do that. You know, well, hey, it's physically, it's damaging to your body, sure. But no one's going to, or golly, what are we going to do with Spurgeon and some of the others, you know, with their pipes and cigars and stuff, you know. Now, I'm not promoting that. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, man, we don't want to get lost. Remember, we talked about lowering, you know, a non-essential thought process about Christianity, lowering a non-essential and making it an essential. And now we're going to get messed up. So we want to keep the main thing, know the essentials of our Christian experience, you know. We really have to be sure about a few things. We have to be sure about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We have to be sure that He was fully God and fully man. We have to be clear on the doctrine of sin, understanding that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Basic tenets of our faith that are non-negotiables. We need to be sure about those things. The non-negotiables are non-negotiables. We just can't, we can't compromise on those. We got to stand our ground. So those groups that just don't want to call sin, sin, you know, they just, well, you know, that was a little mishap or whatever they want to term it. No, sin, sin. It's okay to call it that. We don't need to be ashamed of that. It's a biblical term. It's a term that the Word uses, that God uses. We need to be clear about the Word itself. I believe that the Word is the truth. I don't believe it's partially the truth. I don't believe it's the truth when I believe it to be the truth. I believe it is the truth. It represents God's heart, and God is pure and true. No compromise on that for me at all. But what's out there right now? That's one of the pressure points that's out there. Well, how can we really be sure? Spend time and study through that. And you will find that it is one. This, the Bible is one of the most reliable texts on the face of this earth, absolutely. Even on a historical standpoint, it is absolutely a reliable text. You know, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, man, it was a big deal because it validated so much of the Word. All of Isaiah, for example, was exactly as it was supposed, as it had been recorded for all those thousands of years, you know? Out of all the texts, and yet people will read all these other books about, you know, how it's subjective. Truth is subjective. It's, you know, it's what you believe to be true. Do you believe that to be truth? Well, then that's truth. Well, where's truth then? Because two people believe two different things. So where's truth? Well, it's subjective. It's just whatever I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. The Bible is very clear that truth is defined. And, you know, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to call him a liar, that's for sure. You know, the Son of God. If he professes, I'm going to run. You know what? If you're going to take a risk on anything, I would much rather take it with Jesus Christ than any other thing on the face of this earth. If that were risky, which I don't think it is. You know, the thought is that there are things that are essentials and there are things that are non-essentials. What grocery store you shop at is a non-essential, okay? You get where we're going with that? This was a big issue for them in their culture time period. And we're still following that same thought because a lot of this has to do with dietary things. And there were those, the ones that were real legalistic about their dietary things, you know, and real legalistic about how they washed and how they, all of the things associated with that. They were perceived as far as the New Testament church, the believers there, they were perceived to be the weak ones. The ones that were real legalistic. It's interesting to me, if you think of it, they were the ones that were perceived to be weak. The ones that really understood grace and could function in grace were perceived to be the ones that were established in the faith. And you have to look at it, not just faith, but the faith. The embodiment of all of the text that was, well, it's the embodiment of all of this, actually. That's what Jude refers to. You know, he was contending for, not faith. He wasn't contending for faith. It's that he was contending for the faith, the embodiment of all of the truth contained within the Scriptures. And so the faith is what is mentioned here in Romans also. All of what Paul had been describing about the grace of God and how the grace of God was to work and versus the law and so on. He's saying, man, that's the faith. This is what he's referring to. And so we want to be clear on a few of those things as we go through this because they had big disputes about, you know, man, I'd like to have dinner with you, but you bought that meat from the meat market over there by the temple where they sacrificed to foreign idols right there. And I know that meat was that cattle or whatever was sacrificed to an idol. And man, they worship demons and that just freaks me out. I can't eat that steak with you. Now, the ones who are clear on the faith understand, well, that mini-god wasn't even a god anyway. And it just doesn't matter because they sacrifice it to nothing anyway. It means nothing. And so that person's strong in the faith. They have a good understanding of it. But now we get into the balance. So for them to eat that, there's nothing wrong with it. But now we got to get into the balancing. Can't take a part apart from the whole, right? So the balance of this gets into verse 14, where it talks about something that brings in another dynamic, another factor, you know, into the equation. Something else to think about how does this play out? Because what we've gotten into here from chapter 12 on in through chapter 15 is practical Christianity. This is how does my life, your life, how does it play out with each other and around us in the world in which we live? I know, Paul says, and am convinced in verse 14, by the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is nothing unclean itself. That meat or that whatever you're going to eat is not necessarily unclean in and of itself. That's fine. You remember what happened with Peter, right? He's sitting on the roof. He's hanging out down in Joppa, near the ocean, near the sea down there, kind of hanging out at the beach. And he's getting real hungry, and he's up on the roof, just kind of hanging out up on the roof, and he's starting to get real hungry. And then this like canopy thing kind of comes down. And this is kind of in a vision type thing he has. And this canopy comes down. He says, "Rise, kill, and eat." Whoa, no way, Lord. You know, God, the Lord's talking to him. Rise, kill, and eat. He's saying, "No way, Lord." That's a little bit of a problem right there. But anyhow, he says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And he says, "No, no unclean thing has ever touched my mouth." Well, the gospel is about to be really poured out on the Gentiles. And the Spirit was going to be poured out on the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. And God was preparing his heart, preparing him to understand that, man, what I've called clean, don't call unclean. And so he was just giving them an example of something to see. That issue wasn't necessarily about food. And really what we're talking about here, its example is about food, but it's not really just about food. It's about conscience. It's about our background, our upbringing. It's about what we're comfortable with, what we're not comfortable with. It oftentimes is cultural. Our concern, God's heart is, and our concern should be, not casting an air of judgment on others regarding matters that just make us uncomfortable. I guarantee you, you guys can go and see a lot of movies that I won't ever go and see. That's just a simple fact. Now, there's many people that might think that, you know, Pastor Jim's kind of prudish or something. Anybody who knows me knows that's really not true, for sure. But the idea is this, that, and it's not because I don't know whether it's I'm too cheap or I don't know all the reasons, but there's a lot of things that I just not interested in. You go and see it, you thought it was funny, it was this, that, and blah, blah, and done, great. There's things, I've got so much staining in my mind from being in the world that I don't want to add to that pile too much, okay, if I can avoid it. Now, that freedom that you have, I can't be condemning toward you. Well, oh gosh, you know, that's, oh geez, you know. Now, I know other people, I can go hang out around the beach and it doesn't faze me at all. String bikinis don't freak me out. And some people, you know, no, my gosh, not that, you know. I don't freak out over any of that. I grew up on the beach. It's not a thing. Do you get what I'm saying? We can start casting out, well, we don't do that. Thought process onto others. God's heart is that you keep that in check. There's a lot of freedom. We do need to be wise. If you've got a serious lust problem, you know, guys, then yeah, Huntington Beach probably isn't the place for you, you know? I agree with that. I see that. I get it, you know? Some of us can look past that and see the waves, you know? I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Why? Because it's a matter of conscience. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, again, we're back to this food, and it's not just food, but this is the example that's being used, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Okay, so you got somebody that's a little, you know, they're a little uncomfortable. They used to go to this other temple down there, and they used to be a part of, and they know what goes on with the sacrifices. They know the drunken orgies. They know everything that's happening in that environment. And then for them to come to your house and know that you bought your, because you got a good deal on them, they sold it, the price was right, you bought your meat there, that freaks them out, let's say. It makes them uncomfortable. And so for you, on that day that you invited them over, the thought is, if you know this in advance, what would be the loving thing to do? You go to Price Chopper and you get the steaks there. You have no idea where they've come from there. They try and tell you, but we're not really positive. But you don't know for sure. The point is, they know where they came from. But the idea is that matter of conscience-wise, everybody's cool with it. Nobody's uncomfortable. Everybody, love would dictate that you spend a couple of more bucks. It's not the money that's the issue. You know, the couple more bucks, it's not going to break you probably. So you spend the couple more bucks. You have your friends over. Everybody's good with it. Everybody's edified. There's no problem. Love would dictate that. I'm hoping to just transfer this the heart of God into this thought. You know, that's the point of it. Not so much the exacting, you know, issues of, you know, what is okay, what's not okay. Because love is the higher law in this, basically, is what he's saying. If you're doing something out of love, it's so important to grasp that, you know. And then this works both ways, doesn't it? We talked about this recently, that it works both ways, this idea of love. Sometimes when you've... example, my mom, you know, when she died, okay, so there's this loss in my life, and someone comes up to me, man, you know, I know what you're feeling, Pastor Jim. You know, my cat died a couple months ago, and I've just been distraught over it. And, you know, I know the heart of what they're saying, right? It's not the same thing. I've had to commit euthanasia on my favorite dog. It broke my heart to do that, you know, but I had to. It needed to be put down, you know, and that was the way it was. It broke my heart, but I'm telling you, it didn't break my heart the same as losing my mom. You know, so it's not the same, but I understand the heart of it. The heart of what was being shared was, man, I feel your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. I've lost something that was important to me. You know, it goes both ways, right? I need to understand the heart of the intent, you know, even though it's not quite exactly the same. It love works both ways in this. There's no need to chastise. Yeah, well, I don't think that's quite the same. Do you really think it's quite the same? You know, there's no need for that discussion, you see? You see, love would say, hey, thank you, I appreciate that. Because I know the intent of the heart and behind it. God knows our intent. God knows your intent. God knows my intent. God knows, yeah, we mess up on some of this sometimes. But God knows our hearts. And a heart of love, man, I'm telling you, being merciful and gracious is always right. You can't be far off from the heart of God if you're being merciful and gracious. You can't be far off. Isn't that great to know that? So if you're going to err on that side of it. It's probably better. It's probably a better choice. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Make a decision based on a higher plane, not just the exacting fact of, hey, well, you know, that meat, it doesn't matter. It wasn't, you know, why are you so stumbled by that? Why are you freaked out? That's probably not the time to have that discussion. Fellowship, enjoy God in each other, and just get something that is suitable for everyone. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we want to focus on things that are going to be bringing about righteousness peace, joy, and just the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to focus on those things, not on all this other issue, side issue stuff. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. This is pleasing to God. Okay, I have the freedom to do certain things. I'm justified in it, okay? But I can choose to abdicate that freedom and say, hey, I'm not obligated to exercise that freedom for the sake of the higher law of love. You following where we're going with that? Because one kind of involves personal rights, doesn't it? I have a scriptural right to do what I want with this. Yes, but you also, now you can't take apart from the whole. We got to balance in. Yes, but is that really loving? I can think of many times, and I'm sure you can too, where either someone has said something to you or you've said something to someone else, where you're technically correct. You're accurate in what you said. It was right what you said. But you said it from completely the wrong heart. All it was abrasive and offensive. It was true what was said, but it didn't bring about anything peaceable or righteous or good because it was the way that it was said. God wants us to embrace him and let him embrace us and let that love flow through in the various matters. You know, when we're dealing with a lot of different situations and different people groups and so on, different backgrounds and stuff, you know, I've found there's no need to be overly pointed about stuff because it usually just puts up this wall instantaneously. Now, I'm not going to negotiate on the non-negotiables, okay? I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to let God, I want to give God room to do a work. So if you and I are called to be building bridges with others, to build a bridge with somebody, to connect so that we get a platform in their heart that we can speak good things into their lives, it takes time, it takes, you know, a thought, you know, thoughtfulness, you know, think through that. Where is that person coming from? In other words, my job and your job isn't to write everybody's thinking, to our thinking. God help us all, okay? That's not what we're called to do. What we are called to do is love. Love. And just make that connection. Now, I listen to someone. Oh, I get in some discussions that are amazing sometimes, but it's not even in our state. But, you know, this discussion about Prop 8, you know, and it's definitely a huge issue. And it's a huge issue in different parts of the country, especially on the left coast. But, you know, these are big things, you know, and it's a huge topic. I mean, I have specific views, of course. But the thing I wanted to explain when I was approached by this, because I knew that someone was coming from a different viewpoint, I was trying to make clear that it's not so much the viewpoint that's my issue right now. You know, we're talking about, you know, eternity. We got into some pretty deep waters. And I was explaining that, you know, one of my great-grandfathers was an itinerant Methodist preacher all around this part of the country. Okay, so that was one of my great-grandfathers. The other great-grandfather was just full-blown alcoholic, full Scotchman, you know, and that's what he liked, was Scotch. And, you know, it was tragic. I mean, his life was just a mess, you know. A whole lot of kids, 11 or 13, I can't remember, that my grandfather came from. And, you know, it's just this huge, you know, family. And he wasn't around most of the time. He was out with my great uncle Bob partying. And it was just a mess, okay? He dies of dropsy, which is cirrhosis of the liver, in the poor farm. So he died in some place that, you know, just, I guess they were little houses or something where they left people that had nothing. This was a long time ago. So anyhow, he dies. Now, he didn't know the Lord. To anything that anybody knows, he had no relationship with God. Now, he didn't leave the planet without God and go into everlasting separation from God, hell, which is what the Bible calls it. He didn't go there because he was an alcoholic. And he didn't go there because he drank. That's not why he went there. He went there because he didn't know Jesus. He never gave his life to Jesus Christ. He rejected the gospel and rejected the gospel and rejected the gospel and rejected the gospel. And because of that, then he left the planet and didn't have a relationship with God. And that's what got him there. Do you see the difference? Like, okay, so people are getting into this, all this Prop 8, and what do you think about the end, making this big political? Well, I'm more concerned with the eternal issues. That's more what I'm interested in, is eternity. And what's going to happen? All this stuff that's going out here is the runny nose. Okay? Alcoholism, all the stuff, that's the runny nose. The core issue that I'm clear on, because of the Bible is very clear on, is the sin nature. And the only thing that can fix that is the person of Jesus Christ and our repentance, giving our lives to Jesus Christ, you know? And the thing is sometimes people think, well, repentance means I'm just going to give my life to the Lord and then just go on with my life. I'm actually turning away from this and going, I'm actively pursuing another direction. We are to do that. That's what repentance, I'm not only not going that way, I'm turning and I'm actively pursuing this direction. So it's an active pursuit of the things of the Lord, the things of God. And so when we kind of look at this law of love and stuff, you know, my great-grandfather on the one side that didn't know the Lord, that likely lives in eternal separation, hell, away from God, that's a reality, you know, from my perspective, scripturally. It's very clear. That's a reality. I wish that upon no one. You know, political views and all this other stuff, whatever. Yeah, I agree. It's important. But man, that core issue is real important. And their political view doesn't get them into hell. You see what I'm saying? That's not what God... Let's keep the main thing the main thing. If I got off on this whole big issue, yeah, well, this is how I see it, and blah, 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 you know, I'd never have a platform to talk about what I just talked about with them. Because you're building this wall right away. You know, I want to be able to communicate the love of God. You want to be able to. We want to be able to. I'll stand toe-to-toe with anybody on this stuff. You know, if they want to say, well, no, Jesus, you know, really, he was a neat guy and all that stuff, but, you know, this whole sinless concept and the fact that he died for sin, you know, the resurrection, I'm standing toe-to-toe with you on that. I will not budge. The power of the gospel to change lives. I believe that. We believe that as Christians, and we need to keep believing that. The power of the gospel that can change lives. Jesus Christ can change our lives. Not only did he initially, but he can still keep changing them. This is how it plays out practically. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. It pleases the Lord. It brings God honor and glory. Therefore, let us pursue the things in verse 19 which make for peace. Think about that just for a minute. Just think about that just for a minute. We're coming on to all these family times. We're coming on to a lot of activities right now that engage a lot of interaction. Think about this. Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Edification is to build someone up in their relationship with God, to build them up. Not tear them down, but to build them up. So things that bring about, make for peace. In other words, find common ground. You're not going to find always tons of common ground, but look for some kind of common, find common ground. And pitch your tent there for a little bit with them. You know, find the things that you can agree on and start to build the bridge so that there's communication, so that you have an opportunity to interact with someone. Why polarize unnecessarily? Why? That's majoring in things that are minor things that aren't going to be the things that really matter. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. The person whose conscience just can't deal with that, that becomes a big thing for them. It's evil. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Man, enjoy that freedom that you've got. That's great. Enjoy it. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. He just can't get past the, man, I remember what we used to do. I mean, I still, there's some stuff that comes on, you know, if I'm listening to an oldie station or something, there's some stuff I just have to shut her down, you know? There's some stuff I just can't listen to it. Because I have a past that I don't need to revisit, you know? I just don't need to. And some of you know exactly what I mean. There's no need to be listening to, you know, let's not go into details. There's no need to listen to a lot of stuff that we just don't need to listen to. You know, some of us have lived other lives, and there's just no need to go back. We thought we were having fun, but it was really just a sinful nightmare, and just it was hurtful to ourselves and others, self-destructive. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If we're not believing the Lord for it and saying, you know, Lord, I know that you've given this to me. Think about it. If you pray and say, and you can do it unto faith, and the things that you're talking about that you can do to faith, it's, you believe this is going to be building you up in your walk with God. And so if you use that as part of your litmus test, you're going to find God's going to rearrange your whole life. There's a whole lot we won't do and the whole lot we will do if we use this kind of stuff as criteria. And that's good. These are good challenges for us as Christians, practical Christianity, to think through our daily life. I think it's very difficult at this stage, this time, this point in life, as many are Christians for a while, it's very easy to get into the, well, we create our whole own life thing. We're just missing some big stuff that's going on around us. And we want to walk around with our eyes open, and we want to know what's going on around us a little bit. There's a lot happening in our world today. I mean, it's obvious that our country is eager for some things to be different than they've been. And whether you agree, like or dislike, the present, you know, administration that's coming in or the past one, whether you like it or dislike it, to me, that's not really my issue, you know. My thing is, man, we want to live godly amidst an ungodly society. I say we take a few risks once in a while, you know. Drop a Jesus loves you note in some lockers once in a while. Take a risk, you know, live on the edge, you know. Okay, you get a quick red-faced reprimand, but that's all right, you know. It's worth it. If it built somebody else up in their faith, it was worth it. You know, you get where I'm going with that? You know, we just got to think about what's going on around us. Man, there's a lot happening. We want to be focused. We want to be the arms, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. We want to be the body of Christ as we are. And we want to act upon that. And we want to do things that are going to draw attention to Jesus. You know, I understand. It is clear that our society, our even our world is looking for some things to be different than they've been. But what the world's preparing for and what we should be preparing for as Christians are two different things. From a biblical worldview, the world is preparing to receive. If you can receive this, this is what the biblical perspective is. They're preparing, the world is preparing to receive a one-world leader with a one-world monetary system, with a way to chart and keep track of everyone. And likely we see how this is being prepared. We know that chips could be easily installed on anyone and everyone, and you could be tracked via satellite wherever you go. Everything that you buy with your debit card, it's all tracked. They could pull up you, they can find out what you like at Walmart, what you don't like at Walmart by what you buy. What you like at Target, what you don't like at Target. Whether you like Chick-fil-A once a week, twice a week, three times a month, whatever, you know, whether you go to this store or that store, it's all charted, you know? It's pretty interesting when you think about that. The world is preparing for something different than what
we're preparing for. We are preparing to go to be with the Lord. And the thing is I want to pull as many people as we can with us into everlasting life. You know, we don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing around. We need to be concerned about that. We look around just our metro area. My goodness, I don't know how many, if you can pull up very many times that you can watch the news and there hasn't been a murder in our metro area. I can't think of times that I turn on the news and that doesn't happen. That's not to say anything, you know, Kansas City's no different than other major cities. It happens all over our country. I know that. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong in our whole picture. There's something wrong. And I believe the missing ingredient is Jesus Christ. This is why, you know, we're trying to pursue, you know, the radio things and the different things we're wanting to do is to get the Word of God out. Just let people know that God loves them. God's got a purpose and a plan. And it's not about churchianity. It's about true Christianity. It's about really loving people, letting God love people, letting God's Word get into people's hearts and change their lives. That's what it's all about. And that's a collective effort for the body of Christ.